If you'd stand with me as we turn this evening to the book of Psalms, chapter 130. I guess we could give a title to this psalm out of the first of four words, out of the depths. You'll notice as we come to verse 1, that'd be appropriate a title. This is a much needed psalm for God's people, and it's a favorite psalm of many over the years. Many have claimed this to be their psalm. I mentioned a moment ago that John Owens, he wrote a 300-page exposition on this psalm during distressing times and times of trials and so forth that actually helped lift him out of those and give him hope. As we begin reading in verse 1, and let me just say this, the theme of this psalm, basically it's an appeal to God and a confession of the soul. And it's showing a proper response to despair. And of course, that proper response is prayer. And so it starts with in the depths and ends up in the heights. And there's no historical setting of this psalm. Don't know who wrote it. Don't know why or what time that it was written. But it has to do with distress, forgiveness, and hope. He said in verse 1, he said, "Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive unto the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy. With him is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities." Father, we thank you tonight, dear Lord, for this precious time that you've given us together. We thank you, Lord, for your word. God, we ask tonight that you would meet with us. We ask, Lord, tonight your blessings upon the reading of Scripture. And Lord, we pray tonight that you would speak to us through this psalm and by thy Holy Spirit. God, we thank you for your word. Lord, we love you, and we thank you, Lord, for your love that you have for each of us. Now, Lord, we ask that you just meet with us and work among us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Our text in verse 1 is saying, "Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ear be attentive to the voice of my supplication." When we look in verse 1, we see the word depths here. He said, "Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord." I'm going to take a few other passages in the book of Psalms and consider them, a few other chapters, chapter 40, chapter 42, chapter 69, and chapter 88. We'll take just a few verses from those passages and consider this. Now, he said, "Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord." The word depths has the idea of depression. It has the idea of despair. It's touching bottom. It means to be brought low, where there's no footing and no stability. And we read in Psalms chapter 40, we see in verse 12, this is a psalm of David. It says, "For innumerable evils have compassed me about, mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head, therefore my heart faileth me." Again, we see in this psalm some similarities between Psalms 130, and especially in verse 1, we speak of the word depths. It's the great soul trouble and sorrow are often compared to deep and troublous waters. And again, it has the ideal of depression. It has the ideal of despair. It has the ideal of anything that applies to that which is low. The bottom of the sea, the bottom of a valley, or the bottom of a dark pit. And now we come to Psalms chapter 42. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him, who is the help of my countenance and my God." Here in this place, we see the depths here is referring to desiring God's presence. If you were to back up to verses 1 through 5, verse 2 says this, "My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? And my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude, I went with them to the house of God, and with a voice of joy and praise, and with the multitude that kept the holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance." We see here the desire of the psalmist to be in the presence of God with God's people. You'll notice with me in Psalm 69, and in Psalm chapter 69, the depths here are going to have to do with the distresses that is brought upon an individual by other men, by the enemies. So there's a number of different types of depths and distresses that we see. Here we find in chapter 69, reading in verse 1, he says, "Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head." It's a lot of enemies, isn't it? And he says here, "And they that would destroy me, being mine enemies, wrathfully are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away." And in this passage, this is a Psalm of David. And again, the depths here has to do with the distress that other individuals, other men, bring upon him. Verse 10, we have these words, "When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach." In verse 9, he says here, well, let me see, let's come down to verse let's back up to verse 7. "Because of for thy sake I have borne reproach. Shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger, a notice unto my brethren, alien unto my mother's children. For the zeal of thine house has eaten me up, and the reproach of them that reproach thee are falling upon me." The zeal for God's kingdom has brought reproach upon the psalmist, not only from those without, but also from even those within his own family. And he's pouring out his heart to God in this passage, verse 17 and 18. He said, "Hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily, draw nigh to my soul, and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies." Turn with me to Psalms chapter 88. And again, I'm just giving you a few. They are many that we've covered in the past. Over the last few years. Now, notice with me as we come to this chapter, we'll be reading in verses chapter 88, verses 1, 2, and 3. Again, I challenge you to read verses 7, 8, 9, 10. Read throughout this chapter. But he said here in verse 1, he said, "O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before Thee. Let my prayer come before Thee. Incline Thine ear unto my cry. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave." And again, throughout the entire psalm, we see the same story. Let me give you another example of this. Turn with me, please, to the New Testament. And you'll notice with me in the book of Luke in chapter 22. Now, there's many other times that we've found God's people in distress, in despair, in the depths. In other words, they feel like there's no footing. There's no hope. There's no way out of the situation that they're in. We could go through the Bible and we could find many. Job chapter 16 verses 8 through 10. Job has been in that position. We find that Elijah in chapter 19 and verse 4. Elijah, after great victories in the Lord against the Baal worshippers, he got into a place where he just basically asked God to take him on to glory. He was ready to go. He was ready to leave this earth. He was tired of the battles. And I listen to people talk about Elijah, and there's a lot of criticize him and whatever. And he just came to a place where he was sad, and he He saw the wickedness in Israel and saw the rebellion and things, and it made him sad. We find Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 12. Whenever the enemies came up against Judah, what did he do? He turned his eyes unto the Lord God. Hezekiah, the word came to Hezekiah through the prophet, and he said, "Get your house in order. It's time to go home." What did he do in verses 1 through 5? He turned unto God. And he began praying, began seeking the Lord. I mean, he began crying out to God. God gave him a number more years upon this earth. And then we find that Hannah, the Bible talked about in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 15, actually verses 9 through 15, her soul's in sorrow. She's seeking God and desiring that God would open her womb and so forth. And she's in distress and she's seeking the Lord and praying. Did I mention Jonah? Jonah chapter 2 and verse 2. Jonah, you know where he was at? Jonah was in the whale's belly. The Bible tells us that he cried out of the deep. He cried out unto God, and God brought deliverance unto him. So many of the saints over the years have fell to such depths, and there was no hope, and they were emotionally or physically affected by that, and they turned unto the Lord. Now, you notice with me as we come to the book of Luke, and we're going to be reading in Luke chapter 22. I'm just going to take one verse. Now, I want you to think about the night here before Christ went to the cross. And He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. Has to do with the wine press and being pressed, you know, like grapes put in a wine press. He's going to die and bleed. And this night, He's facing the cross. And this night, He's facing that He's going to taste death for every man. God's wrath to be upon Him. And this night, He knows that even His friends and His disciples will forsake Him. And I want you to notice what the Bible says here as we come to Luke chapter 22, one verse. He says in verse 22, "For these be the days of..." No, I'm in the wrong chapter. I'm in chapter 21. Notice chapter 22. And we're going to chapter 22. And you'll notice with me as we come to verse 44. One verse is all we need to read. Verse 44. "And being," notice, "in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling to the ground." The Lord was in agony. And He is looking at the cross, looking at the sins of humanity that would be put to His account, looking at all of these things to suffer for mankind. And the Bible said, what did the Lord Jesus do? He turned to the Father in prayer. He turned to the Father in prayer. Now, as we come back to Psalms 130, He said in verse 1, "Out of the depths have I cried unto Thee, O Lord." This psalm is teaching us where to go. It's teaching us what to do. We turn unto the Lord. And He says here in verse 2, He said, "Hear," Lord, let me start over, "Lord, hear my voice, and let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication." If you're taking notes, Psalms chapter 5 and in verse 1. In Psalms 5 verse 1, He said, "Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation." Romans 8 in verse 16 through about 22, we see that we get assistance from God, even in our prayers when we turn to Him. I want you to understand that God's people over the years have went through much distress. You say, what are the reasons? Many reasons. Some may be brought on by sin. Some is brought on by the enemies of God. We find that some is brought on by failures, unexpected circumstances or unexplained circumstances that come into our life. And I'm simply saying to you that God's people have always and always will, until the kingdom comes, will go through certain things. And so we have a throne of grace, Hebrews 4:16. We have a throne of grace when we can go to in time of need. That's what this psalm is teaching us. He says in verse 2, "Hear, Lord, hear my voice, and let my ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. Verse 3. Now notice in verse 3 and 4, he said in verse 3, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Now, he's going to talk about forgiveness in verse 4. But I want you to notice in this verse, and you can jot down Romans 3:20, Psalms 38, verses 4 through about verse 15. And he says here in verse 4, and what's interesting about this, he's in the depths, he's in despair. And what does he do? He turns to the Lord, which is what we should do. And then the next thing, we see his sensitivity to his sin, making mention of his sin. And the psalmist was immediately concerned with his sin. By the way, this is the heart of a true saint. This is the heart of a true saint, concerned about his sin. And he says, by the way, this is Paul, the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7, verses 22 through 25. He was concerned about that war that was raging inside. He said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And here the psalmist is concerned about sin. And he said in verse 3, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, that is to recall or to regard all the evils that he had done. Well, who could be saved if the Lord did that all the time? No one would enter into God's kingdom, right? Well, we see in this passage, he said, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, that is record them. He says in this passage, O Lord, who shall stand? No one. But thank God, verse 4. He said, but there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. There is forgiveness. Ephesians 1, 7. In Christ we have forgiveness. 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. If we confess our sin, He's just and faithful, forgive us of our sins. If we say we have no sin, you know that we're in trouble with the Lord. Exodus chapter 34 and verse 7. God told Moses and the children of Israel that He was very merciful and forgiving of their iniquities and their sins. We've been accepted as saints in the Beloved. So in this verse we see the assurance that the psalmist had. And he said in verse 4, but there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. When he's talking about the covenant in Jeremiah 33 verses 8 and 9, he's talking about the fear of the Lord. That's a holy and a good fear that we see in this passage. And then he says in verse 5, I wait for the Lord. My soul doeth wait. In His word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Now, in this passage, the psalmist's resolve is that he will wait on the Lord. Now, we've taken this word many times. I think we preached the message last year titled, Waiting on the Lord. But I'll give you a few references. I'll read one or two. Psalms 27. We have these words in Psalms 27, verse 14. It says, wait on the Lord, be of good cheer, and He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. In the book of Isaiah, there's many times, by the way, in Psalms, but in the book of Isaiah, we have these words as we would come to chapter 25 and verse 9. We have this. He says, chapter 25 and verse 9, he said, and it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for Him, and He will save us, and this is the Lord. And we have waited for Him. We will be glad and rejoice in His salvation. Chapter 26, verse 8, we have these words, chapter 26 and verse 8. Yea, in the way of Thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for Thee. The desire of our soul is to Thy name and to the remembrance of Thee. And then, in chapter 40, verse 28 through 31, and Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 4. And so as we began this psalm, we see the despair, we see then the psalmist turning to the Lord, and we see his hope and his expectation in these verses. And he says in verse 5 again, He says, "And I wait for the Lord, and my soul doeth wait, and in the Word, and His Word do I hope." We can learn a lot from these Psalms. And I know we've all probably failed in this and when we think about despair, but what do we do when despair comes? Well, this Psalm is teaching us that we move close to God. We seek Him with our whole heart. We get as close as we can to Him. And He says here, "I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, in His Word do I hope." In His Word do I hope. What God has said and what God has promised, we can put our faith in. And waiting on the Lord, this is the posture of every believer. I want you to understand that this runs counter to everything that is natural. Everything within us that is natural. It's just like what I'm speaking to you about Sunday morning and Sunday night. Sunday morning, the fruit of the Spirit. The things of fruit of the Spirit, those don't come natural. They're supernatural, given to us by God through conversion, the Holy Spirit. But the things, the works of the flesh, they're natural. You don't have to cultivate them. They're there. You're born with them. Well, in this passage here, waiting on the Lord, this is the posture of every believer, and it runs counter to everything that is natural. Everything that it runs counter to that. Because we don't like to wait on anything, do we? Have you noticed that in your children? That they need to be taught patience. We must be taught patience as well. So he said, "I will wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in His Word do I wait." Verse 6, "My soul waited for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning." As a soldier watching over the city, waiting for the morning to come, night watch. As a priest in the temple, they had different courses that they went through, and throughout the year they would go through their watch waiting for the time to come. As a mother with a sick child waiting for morning, why is it everything's worse at night? Amen. It just is. You're sick, you can rest assured. The night times are the worst. Amen. And waiting for that morning, "My soul waited for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning." I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Amen. He says here in verse 7. Now notice in verse 7. By the way, again, this the waiting. Let me just say this before I move away from this. This is the posture of faith. It's the posture of prayer and of resting in the Lord. The Lord's people, but think about this. The Lord's people have always been a waiting people. Have you ever thought about that? After sin entered in the world, the first prophecy of the coming of Messiah, the first coming, Genesis 3:15, they waited many years. 4,000 years in Old Testament history, they waited many years. And He finally came, amen? His promise is true. What are we doing today? Waiting. We wait on the Lord. Every day that we live, we wait on Him in our walk with the Lord, but we're waiting for Christ to come one day, are we not? We're waiting for His coming. So the Lord's people are waiting people. It's a great part of the life of discipline. Great part of our life. He says here in verse 6 again, verse 5, "I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, in His Word do I hope." Expectation here. No man will wait on anything without hope. And so we see here the soul. In verse 5, "I wait for the Lord, my soul," the whole being of the individual. And he says, "My soul doeth wait, and in His Word do I hope." My soul, verse 6, waited for the Lord. He said, "More than they that watch for the morning." I say, more than they that watch for the morning. And then as we come to verse 7, he says here in verse 7, he said, "Let Israel hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is plenteous redemption." The word plenteous has the ideal of being full. It is not limited or exhausted. And he says here, "Let Israel hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is plenteous redemption." Notice we found forgiveness. We see hope. We see mercy. We see redemption. And then as we come to verse 8, you'll notice with me in verse 8, he said, "And He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities." a beautiful psalm, loved by many of God's people over the years, and many have taken this psalm. I can't remember, there's some other well-known preachers and saints over the years. I think Martin Luther is one, and there's others that this psalm was very dear to their heart, meant so much to them. And I would imagine that the more distress, the more despair that an individual would go through in their lives, the more oppositions, I would imagine this psalm would become more precious to those souls than anyone else. Well, we're going to stop right here, and we'll pick up in Psalms 131 next Wednesday night.